Well, hello there. Welcome back to The Current. I am your host and your guide, Nadia Last. This show is an opportunity for you to remember how spiritual you really are, to reconnect to your spiritual center, to determine what you live for beyond your own self-interest, to reconnect to your inner stillness, the inner wisdom that exists within every single one of us. And as you do that, you will hopefully start to feel the gentle nudgings and the intuitive guidance within that will bring you back into the current of your life. I feel this like kind of a beautiful lazy river that when I'm really in alignment, when I've connected to my inner truth, I am able to flow much more naturally and easefully through all of the different trials, tribulations, triumphs, exciting chapters, challenging chapters of my life. So this show historically has dived into many different modalities to reconnect you to your spiritual center, and it will continue to do so. I sometimes have solo episodes like today, and I sometimes bring on incredible guests, people that I have really connected with deeply in my real life, people that I've benefited from their work or people that I find really fascinating. But I want to help organize the various lanes that I will be focusing on most on this podcast and that you can expect to find here. So the first lane and my first love in this space will be human design. And I know many of you have found this podcast because of your interest in human design. Our manifesting generator episodes, the one that I did with my dear friend Sam, continue to be the most popular episodes on this podcast. So thank you if you found your way into this podcast through human design. I will continue to share all of the things that I find fascinating because human design is such a helpful lens that I use to understand myself and the world around me. The second lane that you can expect to find here is therapy content. I am a therapist. I'm actually an associate marriage and family therapist. So what that means is that I just graduated from my master's program this fall of 2023. And I am currently in the throes of getting set up to begin my supervisory relationship with my supervisor, Claire, who I've had on this podcast. So she will be my therapist supervisor. And now that I've graduated, I will be accruing my hours to apply for licensure to become a licensed marriage and family therapist, MFT. So I will be officially practicing therapy in the early winter of 2024, which is very exciting. So you can find a lot more therapeutic content, and I have really exciting guests planned, people that I am very inspired by that I've met along the way. So human design, therapy content. I also love psychedelics. I just recently published an episode about my own personal experiences with psychedelics, and I actually assist psychedelic retreats a handful of times every year. And it is definitely one of the most sacred spaces that I inhabit as a practitioner. It's incredibly humbling. It is so much fun. And the co-facilitators of these retreats, their names are Claire, my therapist supervisor, and Nick. And I've had Claire and Nick on the podcast before. You can go back and listen to their episode. It's awesome. But I plan to continue creating more psychedelic education content about how you can prep, journey, and integrate these peak psychedelic experiences in the future. So you can expect more of that as well. And I'll bucket the last category of podcast content here as generally spiritual. And the word spiritual might be laden with meaning depending on the person that's coming to this podcast. I know collectively many of us have experienced religious trauma or at the very least religious baggage. When I say spirituality, I do not mean religion. Religion I define as an external dogma that will tell you or show you the answers. Spirituality I broadly define as the belief and the practice, the consistent discipline of tuning inward to find answers. That you are your own highest power, that you are your own guru, your own guide. And spirituality is the practice, the daily discipline, the ritual of tuning into your own inner landscape to find your own path, to find your own meaning, to find your own current. So the spiritual content, I mean, I'm saying this tuning inward, but many of you listening will be like, well, how do I do that? And so I want to offer a lane of content and different sort of thought starters for you to start to tune inward. And that is why you will never find ads on this podcast. That is why it won't feel overly produced, because I want this podcast to feel like a spiritual experience. As you're driving to work, as you're waiting at the dentist and listening to this podcast, I want you to be able to feel somewhat dropped in to an experience. Even the music that I selected at the beginning of this podcast, I lengthen the amount of time you can listen because I want you to use that as an opportunity to drop in to your inner landscape as you hear the song. Yet I realize that not everyone listening is interested in all of those lanes of exploration. And so I'm going to start to create these sort of sub-series within the podcast itself so you can easily toggle around and find the content that speaks most to you. And for those that want to listen to all of it, I'm so happy you're here. Today is going to be a spiritual episode. And this sub-series is one that I've wanted to start for a very long time. It's based on the most influential book that I read in 2023. It's called Oneness. And that book was written and transcribed or channeled by the author, Rasha. And she has actually agreed to come onto this podcast and be interviewed. We're still trying to find a date that works. She lives in the hills, the mountains of India, and it's monsoon season currently. So she is struggling with Wi-Fi connectivity. But that is very related actually to the topic we're going to talk about today. She is living the words that she transcribed in this book, which are all about finding solace in nature. So she lives in a very nature forward place. And as such, we're still trying to find a time to connect, but it's going to happen. I am manifesting that. I'm calling it in 2024. So this book, Oneness, which I will link in the show notes, I actually started a book club because earlier in this year, and it was really widely attended, which is awesome. I started this group chat and I would share different passages from this book. And I felt called for a really long time to create a podcast series because this book is one of those books where you can turn to any page within it and find wisdom that speaks directly to your soul. So as I was journaling this morning, I got the hit like, hey, just turn to a random page in Oneness and start to journal based on what you're reading. And it flowed so naturally and so intuitively that I decided to just spin this up into a quick podcast episode. So this is going to be a series called Oneness in this podcast, a sub-series, where I will be intuitively flipping to a page in this book, journaling about it for a short time, writing a quick outline for this podcast, and then just sitting down and recording. And I want it to feel like a devotional. I want it to feel like a time in which you can carve out in your day to get present with yourself and fill up on higher order wisdom. So the title of today's episode is Oneness, Everything is Energy. Everything is energy. And if you consider yourself a seeker, a spiritual being, you have likely come to this conclusion on your own that everything is connected and everything contains its own energy. And energy that we can't necessarily feel, see, touch, taste, smell with our five senses. There is this extrasensory ability to pick up on energy around us. This is what happens when you walk into a room and you can sense if there is tension, you can tell if the emotions are running high, or you can feel if everyone is relaxed. There is something else that you are picking up on in that moment. It's intuitive energy, and our bodies are the receivers of that energy. And so it's all about dropping into the body to be able to tell the subtle nuances of the energy around us. So I'm going to turn to this page that I pulled up just now. And it's on 126 of the book Oneness, if you have the book at home and want to flip to it yourself. So it says, as your vibration continues to accelerate, you will become aware of subtle shifts in your perception of all that surrounds you. For everything in your world is comprised of energy. you will become keenly attuned to your surroundings and will feel the urge to place yourself in areas where the environment resonates with an augmented vibration. Honor those sensings. You are likely to feel compelled to spend large portions of your time in the haven provided by nature. And in so doing, you will discover that you've become sensitive to the subtleties of interaction with the other levels of consciousness that cohabit your realm. It is entirely expected that you will become keenly aware of an entire realm of existence whose subtleties eluded you at the lower vibrational levels at which you emerged into consciousness in this lifetime. Now, as the worlds within your world come to overlap, the true realities will emerge in vivid and fascinating detail. In the sanctuaries of your forests, you will discover the richness in the world of nature. Here, a broad spectrum of consciousness comes to life when one becomes vibrationally enhanced and one discovers the natural ability to interact in awareness and in thought with life forms that once were considered to be inanimate. Conscious awareness, what some call to be intelligence, is inherent in every life form in your world. Some of you have already discovered the ability to see the energetic definitions, the auras, that surround the physical forms of all matter. Some are able to perceive with surprising ease the world of the nature spirits, whose joy in being alive brings a fresh perspective to the experience you have come to regard as life. Phew. Okay, so the way that this author writes takes a bit of getting used to at first, and that is why I'm creating this series to unpack what it is that I just read. And it takes maybe a couple times through to be able to really sink into what she is writing about here. But at a high level, this passage is basically talking about how everything in our world, ourselves included, our pets, our animals, our houseplants, the train, the book that I just read from, everything contains its own energetic signature or frequency. She describes this energy that extends beyond our physical bodies, our physical forms, as being an aura, A-U-R-A. And if you haven't heard this word before, auras are actually what we work with in human design. So human design teaches us that we are one of four energy types or auras. So the first are projectors. I'm a projector, and our aura is specific. It's very penetrating. The next is manifestors, and manifestors are here to be selective and closed and sometimes even repelling in their aura because they're here to be visionaries and change makers and really be able to move unimpeded toward the things that they want and have an urge to do and create. We then have reflectors that are very open and perceptive beings. Their aura is very much sampling. They're taking in everything that's around them all the time, which is incredible and also perhaps overwhelming at times. So it deserves a lot of aura cleansing, which we'll get into in a moment. And then finally, we have our manifesting generators and generators. In human design, their auras are actually combined, though there's a lot of nuance between the two energy types. But that aura is designed to be very magnetic and drawing things toward them because they're here to do, build, create, and apply their energy, their life force energy toward the things that feel most alive and compelling for them. So human design is built upon this foundation that there is an aura that extends beyond our bodies. And the system helps us to understand. It gives us more of a manual or a blueprint to say, this is how you work with it. This is how people will be impacted by your aura. And a question I'll often get in readings is, does your aura change over time? And according to human design, you have the same sort of like energy type throughout your life. However, there is a nuance that your aura does sort of shift over time, meaning there are different energetic flavors. There are different emotions based on how your emotions and your thoughts are internally. Your aura will slightly shift based on how you interact with the world. Let me give you an example. I was at the dentist this morning and I realized that I had just rolled out of bed and I was really frustrated because I had to get a few cavities filled. And my aura was not it wasn't positive. I wasn't happy to be there. I was sitting in the chair. I was kind of grumbly. I had basically just woken up. And I noticed that the dentist and the dental assistant that was next to him were sort of gruff with me. They were sort of like not that friendly. And then I realized that my brow was furrowed. I realized that I was holding myself in a specific way. It was just impacting everything. I didn't want to be there. And so it seemed that they didn't want to be there. And remembering that my aura is this malleable and changeable thing, I did a very short meditation while I was in the chair. I sort of like cleansed my body. I took a deep breath. I called in some loving energy into my heart center. And I noticed that the dentist and his assistant both noticeably relaxed. They were breathing more easily. And then they started to banter with me. They started to joke with me. And so this is kind of like a real time example, a real life example of how our emotional experience, our inner world impacts our outer reality and how people react to and engage with us. So bringing mindfulness to the energy that we bring outside is very, very important. I was in a psychedelic journey several months ago, and one of the key takeaways that I had from that journey, the message that I received, is that our auras need to pay attention to them. We need to pay attention to what we're carrying every single day. And it's a practice. It's not that we arrive at a wonderful charged aura, like it takes continuous work, not dissimilar to how we need to brush our teeth every morning. We brush our teeth before we leave the house. And so the message that I received in this journey was, you wouldn't leave the house without brushing your teeth. So why do you leave the house without cleansing your aura? And that was very interesting to me because I hadn't studied auras at all at the time. And I think less than information gathering about auras, you're really sort of meant to experiment with it in real time and play with it and see how your interactions change and shift and are moldable as you shift yourself. So I got married a couple months ago, October 14th. And during our reception, we got married in Sedona, Arizona, which is a very spiritual place. And it felt so right. And I feel very grateful to my husband. He's the one who actually suggested Sedona, which has beautiful weather at that time of year. And he, you know, a lot of people assume that it was my idea to have our wedding there, but it was actually his, which is really cool. And it was just a really incredible experience. But we were trying to get down on the dance floor, Scott and I, and then we realized like, hey, the dance floor is kind of thinning out. So we walked outside to see what was up, and we had hired an aura photographer and reader for the reception. And there was a line of 50 people lined up in front of her. So what is an aura reader? It is kind of like a touristy thing that you can do in Sedona, but they have these cameras where you can take a photo of your aura. And some of you listening might have seen this before, where it's like colors kind of overlaid on top of a Polaroid picture of yourself. And so there was somebody taking photos, and then you'd grab your Polaroid, and then you'd stand in line for this woman to read your aura and let you know what she saw within it. And people were fascinated. I think it's the energy of Sedona that opens people up to having a bit of a spiritual experience. I assumed that she would just say, hey, your aura is red and this is what this means. But actually, this woman was very intuitive and she was kind of sensing, I think that this might be an interesting career for you, or I can sense that you had a recent loss. One of my good friends came up to me and she's like, Nadia, did you tell her information about us ahead of time? I was like, I've never met this woman in my life. Our planner hired her. And she's like, it's so wild. She nailed that I had just quit my job, that I was traveling in a huge state of transition right now, and that I should specifically be in a career around creativity. And she works in copy and she's very, very creative. And it was just really cool to have so many different people at our wedding come up to me and say, that was crazy. Or like, she got me so perfectly. And what's happening in this moment is that this woman is tuning into energy beyond sort of like her sixth sense, her intuitive abilities. And she has also become really, really good at recognizing patterns of energy. So if she sees the color of an aura, she is able to sort of sense, oh, this is perhaps what has been happening in your life, or this is a career that might be good for you. And it's not a perfect science. There's still a handful of people that came up to me and they were like, I don't know. Like one of my friends said that this woman told her that she should be a fashion designer. And she's like, I've never considered that in my life. So it's not perfect, but it is sort of categorically useful and helpful to understand what is the energy that I'm carrying. And there are a few people that walked up to this aura reader and they made jokes. They're like, oh, my aura is going to be black. Like, I don't have a soul. And it's because it can feel very vulnerable, very intimate to read between the lines and sense the energy that you are giving off, the energy that's inside, the reading of one's soul. My aura, while I didn't have time to get an intuitive reading that evening, my aura color a year ago when I visited Sedona was entirely blue, which is all about communication. And my aura shifted a bit when I took the photo the night of our wedding. And I had a lot of blue, a little bit of white, and a lot of green. And I read up on the cards that she was distributing, and green signifies major changes, transitions. And in that same month, I had graduated from grad school, I was getting married, and I was completing a significant chapter of my life, a significant season. I think it just goes to show that auras can be very useful in terms of understanding what you're moving through, and also useful to illuminate your inner experience. So how do you start to open yourself up to sense your aura and the auras of people around you? The first thing that I would say is to trust your vibes, which was a specific sentence in this passage. She said, you will become keenly attuned to your surroundings and feel the urge to place yourself in areas where the environment resonates with an augmented vibration. Honor those sensings. Honor those sensings, I read as trust your vibes. Recognize there are going to be things that don't necessarily make sense to your mind, but make sense to your body. Your body is the tuning fork. Your body is the vehicle through which you are sensing these very nuanced auras of the people, the places, the things around you, these intuitive senses. I'm really playing with the idea that I have splenic decision-making in human design. So my specific decision-making is my spleen or my intuitive senses. And the splenic sense that I get is kind of like a pause. And it's very subtle, but it's this moment of, wait a second, I'm not like all systems go in this lane. There's something that's holding me back. And I've been learning to pay attention to that and really recognize, wait, something feels off here. I'm not quite sure what's present. For instance, we were out to dinner with a couple friend a few months ago, and I was telling Scott afterwards, I was like, I feel like something's happening there. Like there's something going on. And sure enough, a few months later, there was this sort of implosion that happened. And there was a part of me that wanted to tell Scott, like, I told you so. But it's just kind of paying attention to there's something that feels off here and then watching what happens. Or there is something that's leading me over in this direction. I'm going to pay attention to that. Really trusting that if everything is energy, that there is a potential path that's being illuminated in every moment through subtle energetics. The second piece here is that you might not be able to pick up on the energetics around you because you are too bogged down. You are too inundated. You haven't spent enough time cleansing your aura. And what I mean by that is it's kind of like our bodies are sponges. And if a sponge has been inundated with water and it's kind of soggy and wet or smells kind of funky, it's not going to be able to do its job properly. If you are the windmill, and you've been taking in a bunch of dirty water, you need to take time to wring out your sponge or clear out your windmill, give it some healthy, good water to run through its system so that you can actually become much more attuned and sensing in future when other sources of water filter through your windmill. So how do you do that? There's one way to do that where you are recognizing the residue that you're picking up on in real time. So I think of that like brushing your teeth. Again, if you're thinking of like cleansing your aura like brushing your teeth, you can feel when you've had a particularly salty or sugary or heavy meal, and there's this part of you that wants to floss. There's a part of you that wants to brush your teeth. You can feel the residue of that meal in your mouth, and there's a desire that you might feel intrinsically to just cleanse out your mouth. That is what will happen during particularly energetically intense encounters. I recognize that this happens when I'm in a really big group and I can sense that there's a lot of social anxiety or people are uncomfortable being there. I can also sense that this happens for me when I've worked with someone in a particularly emotional or intense session, or when I'm working with someone that's really emotionally blocked and I'm picking up on it. Afterward, I'll know that it feels that I need sort of like energetic clearing because it either feels really heavy, I feel exhausted, or I'll know because I'm thinking about that client later that evening. And so either after my session or later that night, I will have a lot of different tools in my toolkit. So one of which is to do a quick visualization in which I send that person or that group away in love. And then I envision gently closing the door and sort of like sending love to that person on their way. I'll also envision a cord that connects us and taking a giant pair of scissors and cutting it or burning it with fire if that's what's needed. I also do this really strange breath, but I'll just go and sort of like move that breath. Even as I did that right now, I was like, yes, like it's moving out of my system. I also use my five physical senses as well, smell in particular. I'll burn a candle, I'll burn some incense, I'll burn Palo Santo, which is holy wood, and the smell of which is said to have really healing properties of cleansing the air and the energy around you. So I'll use that. I will do physical exercise. I feel like that is such an incredible way to move energy through your body. I'll typically use physical exercise, though, if I'm clearing something for myself. And then finally, which was a big theme in this passage, this oneness passage, is nature. So spending time outside, getting present with nature, feeling the presence of trees around you, the spirits of nature that are present at all times. It is unequivocally true that if someone spends a bit of time with the sun on their face, outside, the wind in their hair, in the forest, forest bathing, taking in nature with all five senses, they will feel better. And there's a reason why that is. Nature is alive. Nature is pure. It is a place where you can discharge all of the challenging and dysfunctional and distorted energy that exists on our human plane and just giving it back to the earth. It is one of my most incredible and useful practices that I'll just walk in the hills behind our house with both of my dogs and I won't listen to anything. I will simply just be in nature and sort of shake off the energy that I pick up on throughout the day. Similar to daily toothbrushing, there are times in which you need a deep clean. So you go to the dentist ideally every 6 months or so. I waited a really long time to do my dental cleaning recently, and that's why I had cavities. I'm talking about this because I felt so much shame. I'd only had like two cavities my entire life up until this point, and I went to the dentist and had several, and I felt so much shame about it. And so I decided I've just been really open and talking about it with friends and now here, because that's the best way to dispel shame, dispel the secrecy, is to just share it where you feel comfortable and aligned to do so. So there's a lot of dental themes here today. I actually had my cavities filled this morning, so I'm like still feeling a little bit numb in one part of my mouth. So you will need a deep clean every so often. And those deep cleans I think of as maybe a Reiki session or a massage or a really long walk in nature. So my dog Murphy and I, we did like a 7-mile hike yesterday, and that was like a deep energetic clean. And also, don't underestimate the power of cleansing the things around you. So maybe that's your phone and it's actually getting rid of all the notifications and cleaning things up, unsubscribing from a bunch of emails. God, that feels so good every time I'm able to unsubscribe from a handful of emails. It's like I love a clear, clean inbox. I'm a Virgo moon, Virgo rising, so that cleanliness is so important to me. Another way of doing that is to clear your physical space. It will weigh on your psyche if you see clutter and mess everywhere you go. Our garage is really messy right now, and I can feel it weighing on me. And we organized our shoe racks and started to donate different things. And even like clearing up a little bit of space in the garage, I felt so much better. So I can't even imagine how good I'll feel when I clear out the rest of it. If you feel yourself dragging energetically, think of your physical space, your digital footprint, and also relational leakage. There is so much that happens that drains our energy bodies, our auras, when we are not saying what we want to say to people, when we are not moving in and through healthy conflict with people we care about, when we are not setting healthy boundaries, when we are repeating relational patterns that we learned in childhood, when we are ignoring things that we know that we need to do, but we keep putting it on the back burner. All of these things really lead to psychic weight that will cause us to drag and will cause us not to be able to really tap into our inner truth and our intuition. And then the simplest tool I will often ignore for clearing my energy body is meditation. I am not a fantastic meditator. I can probably sit for 3 to 5 minutes simply by myself meditating before I get antsy. And yet I'm trying to do that. I'm treating the month of December as a challenge month for me. And I'm trying every single day to meditate, to write, to journal, and do morning pages. If you know the artist's way, it's basically just brain draining, dumping your brain out on paper, and then doing some automatic writing, which is basically just channeling and asking for higher order wisdom, and then singing. So I have a harmonium, and every morning I've been pulling that out and playing the harmonium and singing alongside it and doing basically a singing meditation. And it feels so good. And my aura feels so cleansed for the rest of the day when I start the day this way. And I have been fighting tooth and nail against just the basic ritual of this morning routine. I've been away from it for the past 6 to 9 months, and there's a reason why I've also been away from this podcast during this time and haven't been posting as often. It's because I haven't been able to tap into my inner center, and I haven't been able to really cleanse my aura enough to be in a place where I can be creating content for you all. And so as frustrating and as rote and mundane as this morning practice feels, I have a month of December, all the dates on a little like graph, and I have a checklist every single day where I'm taking those items off the list and just saying like, it's those daily rituals, that clearing, cleansing of my aura, my energetic body, that is the fundamental building blocks for everything else in my life. That is where inner clarity comes from. So I hope that this was a useful exercise for you to start thinking about how everything is truly energy. Looking at your dog, looking at your cat, looking at your child, looking at a tree, looking at your partner, looking at a stranger on public transportation, and just being able to sense subtly, what is the energy that I'm feeling there? And can I also recognize the divinity that exists, the life force energy, the source energy that exists in that being outside of myself, just as much as it exists within me? Thank you for listening. I am so thrilled to create this series, the Oneness series. It felt so good to just sit here and record this with you all. So thank you for listening through the ethers. I would love to hear what you think. Feel free to message me as always. In future, I think I'm going to create a segment where you can actually call into the show and leave a voicemail. And I will include these messages in the show because I want to engage with you all. I want to create a two-way dialogue. The polls that I have in Spotify just aren't cutting it. And lastly, if you enjoy this podcast, the best thing that you can do is send it to a friend, leave me a rating on Spotify, or write a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps to share this podcast in a way that's organic and natural. And I'm so grateful that you're here. Until we meet again.